Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, it says here, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We, who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." This passage here in the book of Galatians is one of the most profound passages in the entire book. And it is so for several reasons. First of all, because of this confrontation between Peter and Paul. And when I say confrontation, I'll explain that a little bit more as we go. In fact, that's going to be really the main thrust of our study today. But also because Paul lays out so clearly that both our justification and our sanctification are accomplished entirely and completely on the basis of the finished work of Christ. And we will spend a good deal of time from verse 15 down to verse 21, not today in particular, but we're going to spend a good deal of time once we work our way down to those verses. But this passage here, for many, many reasons, is certainly one of the most profound in the entire book of Galatians. First of all, then, let's go back to verse 11, where the Apostle Paul says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch." So automatically then, if you've been following along with us in our study, you're going to notice a contrast here. Verses 1 down to verse 10 took place in Jerusalem. But now, verse 11 really to verse 21, if you want to read it that far, but you'd say at least verse 11 down to verse 16, takes place over in Antioch. Jerusalem was the center of the Jewish kingdom church. Antioch was the center of the church, the body of Christ. Jerusalem was the place where Peter and James and John were the leaders in relationship to the kingdom prophetic program. Antioch was where they were called Christians first, those who Paul had led to the Lord and had begun to minister to and study with and that type of thing. So when you come here to Galatians chapter number 2, verse 11, you've got immediately a contrast that is presenting itself. The other thing to keep in mind is that here, when it says at chapter 2, verse 11, "But when Peter was come to Antioch," remember that the encounter, that this thing that's going on with Peter at Antioch and the Gentiles and the Jews, and then Paul having to speak to him openly, publicly to his face, this occurs after Peter had made that public acknowledgement and recognition of Paul's distinctive and separate ministry. That's why this is such a vital, important issue here. you do need to let your mind go back through verses 1 to 10 of Galatians chapter number 2 and remember that Paul went to Jerusalem to communicate that gospel which he preached among the Gentiles and to communicate it to James, Peter, and John, not because he was looking for their blessing upon his ministry, not because he was looking for their sanction of his ministry, not because he was expecting them to say, okay, Paul, we approve your ministry. Paul didn't go there for that purpose. He went there because the Lord told him to go there. And the Lord told him to go there because James, Peter, and John needed to understand Paul's ministry. They needed to understand the advance in the dispensation, the fact that the dispensation had changed from Israel's kingdom prophetic program to the present dispensation of God's Gentile grace. So, when the Apostle Paul goes to Jerusalem, it's not for the purpose of getting them to sanction his ministry. Rather, it was for the purpose of them to come to see and perceive and understand what God was doing through Paul out among the Gentiles. You can see back at verse 7 of chapter 2, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now jump ahead to verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Now, in giving to the Apostle Paul this right hand of fellowship, in doing so, they were making, James, Peter, and John, were making a public statement, a public acknowledgement of Paul's distinctive and separate apostleship. And in so doing, what they were saying by that was, fundamentally, that that middle wall of partition had been broken down. Go with me, Wood, over to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 2 now. Go to Ephesians in chapter number 2. Look over to Ephesians in chapter number 2. In giving to the Apostle Paul the right hands of fellowship, they were recognizing publicly, they were publicly acknowledging the details, at least the basics of the information that you're going to read here in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 11 down to verse 16. He says at verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles, I'm in Ephesians 2:11, Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. See that reference there to that middle wall of partition? That, as far as God is concerned, that middle wall of partition has been broken down. And it was broken down at the beginning of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Jew and Gentile were seen by God then on equal footing, equal ground. Verse 15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. When Peter and James and John gave to the Apostle Paul the right hands of fellowship, they were making a public acknowledgement to the fundamentals of what this passage in Ephesians 2 claims. That is, that that middle wall of partition that stood for hundreds of years between the Jew and the Gentile, that God who established it, that he had broken it down. That law of commandments contained in ordinances had been abolished. That there was one body, that Jew and Gentile had been placed on equal footing, and now anyone, Jew and Gentile, could be saved by the finished work of Christ as proclaimed by the apostle of the Gentiles the Apostle Paul. And so Peter and James and John, you can go back to Galatians 2 now, in giving to the Apostle Paul the right hands of fellowship, that's what they were making a public acknowledgement of and to. They were saying, Paul, we've come to see and perceive that the Lord Jesus Christ has raised you up as a separate and distinct apostleship, operating out there among the Gentiles. The middle oil partition is gone. It's down. It's out of the way. The law has been abolished. It's out of the way. And now a man is justified on the basis of the crosswork of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter, in giving to Paul the right hands of fellowship, was making a public acknowledgement of. Now then, if you go back to Galatians 2, verse 11, you can see, when it starts with the very first word, but, you can see you've got a problem here. You can see you have a contrast introduced here. Verse 11 says this, but when Peter was come to Antioch, now what happens is this. Peter's not in Jerusalem now. He comes on up to Antioch, the center of the Gentile church, the center of the church, the body of Christ, from which Paul launched his apostolic journeys and so forth, okay? It says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I was stood into the face because he was to be blamed. Well, why was he to be blamed? Well, here's why. Verse 12. For before that certain came from James, meaning the James in that verse is the James of verse 9, James evidently was the leader of the Jerusalem church, the Jerusalem kingdom church. Peter was the leader or the head of the 12 apostles and hence the head of the whole little flock. James evidently was the leader of the Jerusalem church, that particular local Jewish kingdom church, okay? So James sends a dispatch of men up to Antioch. Peter, of course, had already gone up there. And it says at verse 12, for before that certain came from James, look what he does. He did eat with the Gentiles. Now, the significance of this is that, if you remember, when Peter was sent to Cornelius, he said it's unlawful for him to go in and keep company of another nation. In other words, Peter was recognizing back there that the middle wall of partition was in effect. But by Acts 15, which is Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, Peter had come to see through Paul's ministry that the middle wall of partition had been broken down. And hence, after that conference in Jerusalem, Peter goes up to Antioch, and he's enjoying great fellowship with the Gentiles. He's conducting his life in the reality of the present dispensation of God's grace. And that is that middle wall of partition is down. That the Jew and Gentile are not only seen on equal footing in God's eyes, but in particular as members of the body of Christ, they are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Peter here was conducting his life. When he goes up to Antioch initially, and he's eating with the Gentiles, he is conducting his life in line with the truth that the middle wall of partition was gone, it was down, it was out of the way, it's been broken down, and that the law of commandments contained in ordinances had been abolished. It was okay for him now to eat with the Gentiles. It was fine for him to go in and keep company with him of another nation. It was fine for him to conduct his life, at least as far as God was concerned, it was fine, it was right, it was appropriate for Peter to live in the light of the truth of the gospel, the grace of God. And the way he was doing that is that he was publicly fellowshipping and eating with these Gentiles, hence recognizing that for the present dispensation of God's grace, that middle wall partition had been broken down. But when certain came from James, when James sent up this entourage of Jewish kingdom saints here, you know what Peter does? It says, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. By withdrawing himself from these Gentiles, by separating himself from these Gentiles, Peter in his conduct, Peter in his manner of life was denying the truth of the gospel. Peter in his conduct, simply by separating himself from these Gentiles, he was denying what he previously acknowledged back there in Jerusalem. He, in his conduct of his life, was saying, no, that middle oil petition is up. The Jew is still on this higher plane, and the Gentiles are still seen by God as dogs. That's what Peter was saying in his conduct. In what he was doing by separating himself, he was denying now at Antioch what he publicly acknowledged over in Jerusalem. It was a complete reversal. Now you've got to ask your question, why in the world would Peter do such a thing? Well, hold your place there and in Galatians 2 and go back with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 29. Look over to Proverbs chapter number 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. Here's why. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says this, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." You see that? The fear of man bringeth a snare. That's why Peter did what he did here in Antioch. You can see very clearly, go back to Galatians chapter 2 now. Go back to Galatians chapter number 2, verse 12, and you'll see it very clearly. Galatians 2, 12 says this, "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself," there it is, "fearing them which were of the circumcision." Friends, if you'll remember the fact that the fear of man bringeth a snare, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. What happened to Peter, and why it was that he separated from these Gentiles here, and hence he was denying the truth of the gospel, he feared man, and in particular he feared them which were of the circumcision. He feared these Jewish believers. He feared, as it says there, them which were of the circumcision. Instead of fearing God, he feared these circumcision. Now, look what Paul does, verse 13. Look what it goes on to say here. "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." That's the one that's even more amazing. Not just that Peter himself had separated himself and hence was denying the truth of the gospel, but you can see at verse 13 that Barnabas himself also. I had a lady email me one time. She just was just troubled about that verse, and she's understanding the grace message, and she said, you know, why would even Barnabas be carried away with their dissimulation? And again, I just pointed out that verse. You know what? Proverbs 29, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." The fear of man bringeth a snare. And that's what it did to Barnabas here as well. Friends, that tells you and me the power of the intimidation tactics of the adversary when it comes to something as simple as fearing man. What you see going on here, way back there at Antioch, and friends, it still goes on today, is the satanic policy of evil designed to cause believers not to live in the light of the truth of the gospel of God's grace. And in this context here, it is interesting that it was something as simple as just not eating with the Gentiles. It was something as simple as just being separate from the Gentiles. It was something as simple as being scriptural, but not dispensational. Friends, it was scriptural for the Jews to not eat with the Gentiles. Don't you remember what Peter said to Cornelius? He says, you know that it is unlawful for he that is a Jew to keep company with him of another nation. And Peter was exactly right on that point. It was scriptural for him to stay separate from those Gentiles, but it was not dispensational. And this is exactly important. This is so important for us to appreciate that the reason that Peter was to be blamed. In fact, I want you to look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. It says, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel." Now stop there for just a moment. Think about that phrase there. "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel." Now let me say it this way. Usually, when you think about somebody walking, quote, not upright according to the truth of the gospel, what usually comes to mind? Well, usually it's things like adultery or fornication or drunkenness or lasciviousness or, you know, drugs or you know, cussing or various things like that. Usually when you get on somebody's case who professes to be a believer for the conduct of life and they're not walking uprightly according to the gospel, usually it's stuff like, again, alcohol issues, drunkenness, adultery, fornication, you know, things like that. Listen, friends, Peter and these other Jews, they were not guilty in this context of alcoholism, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, all the standard sins that Christian people look for and unsaved people look for in Christians too, okay? All the standard sins that people point to and say, oh, that brother's over there doing this, or that sister's over there doing that. Peter and his other Jews were not guilty of any of those things. And yet Paul very clearly says at verse 14, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel," he withstands Peter to the face here. He doesn't say to Peter, "Peter, I saw you looking upon a woman with lust." He doesn't say, "Peter, last night, Peter, I saw you there full of lasciviousness." He doesn't say that. And that's not what's going on here at all. It was something as simple as and seemingly harmless as just not eating with the Gentiles anymore. Imagine that. Just not eating with the Gentiles anymore. You see at verse 12, "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." Peter's great sin here, and that of the other Jews here, and that of Barnabas, was that in the conduct of their life, they were denying that the middle wall of partition was down. And hence they were denying in the public conduct of their life, they were denying the truth of the one body, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. In the conduct of their life, something as simple as just not eating with the Gentiles, they were saying that the truth of the one body is not a reality. That's the great sin. Isn't that amazing? You know, it's interesting sometimes the things that Christian people will pick out as, you know, gross sin and gross immorality and really bad things, you know. You look at this thing and you think, wait a minute. Peter was simply not eating with the Gentiles. He chose to withdraw and separate himself. And God thought that worthy enough not only to have Paul rebuke Peter to the face, but that it got in the very Word of God itself. The details, the fact of that event is recorded in Scripture. That tells you the importance that God placed upon this confrontation here. That tells you how important God thought it was. That tells you how important it was for this to be communicated into the Word of God and to you and me today, so that we could see and appreciate, as it says here, look at verse 15, But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, the issue is maintaining the truth of the gospel. And the way you maintain the truth of the gospel is you live your life in accordance with the nature of the one body. The way that you make sure that the truth of the gospel continues is that you live with a conscious awareness of your membership in the church, the body of Christ, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, but you are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says here at verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Peter, when he was eating with the Gentiles, he was living after the manner of the Gentiles. That is, that there is no middle wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles, that all are on equal ground. But now, in separating from these Gentiles, he was, in his conduct, in his manner of life, in his walk, he was saying that from God's perspective, in order for these Gentiles to be accepted, they needed to go and live as do the Jews. That little phrase there at the end of verse 14, compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews, friends? That's the key there. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? That, friends, the satanic policy of evil, all throughout the dispensation of grace, one of its objectives is to compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews. To compel the believers to live as though Israel's kingdom program is still in effect. To compel the Gentiles to live as though that middle wall partition is still up. To compel the Gentiles to live in their relationship to God as though Israel is in that favored nation status. And they are not. Friends, when you look at the church today, when I say today, I mean, you know, all down through history, you can see it in Paul's epistles. He prophesies the history of the dispensation of grace in 2 Timothy there. But when you look at the history of the church, you see that the church, the body of Christ, friends, they're praying Israel's prayers, such as Matthew 6 and the book of Psalms and Proverbs. They're claiming Israel's signs, miracles, and wonders. They're claiming Israel's promises, such as Ezekiel and the things in Exodus and Leviticus and so forth. In fact, they're even claiming to be Israel. They're claiming to be spiritual Israelite, spiritual Jews. They're claiming to be the Israel of God. Friends, they're claiming to follow Israel's gospel. They're claiming to build the kingdom, to bring in the kingdom. Friends, all of that is compelling the Gentiles to live as do the Jews. And it is an outright denial of the truth of the one body. It is an outright and open denial of what God is doing in the dispensation of His grace. It is an absolute denial of the truth of the gospel of the grace of God, the dispensation of God's grace, the church, the body of Christ, with the one baptism that places us equally into the church, the body of Christ. The church today claims Israel's prayers, claim Israel's promises, want Israel's signs, want to be like Israel, want to follow their feasts, want to follow their ordinances, want to look for their blessings. And friends, all of that is compelling the Gentiles to live as do the Jews. And the Apostle Paul here in Galatians chapter number 2, and indeed, God the Holy Spirit in the book of Galatians chapter number 2 makes it very clear that that is a denial of the truth of the gospel. Look again at verse 14. Look again at verse 14. It says this, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. See that? All of those issues today, the church down through the dispensation of grace has been over in apostasy. And that apostasy has been, you got to go back, you got to be like a Jew, you got to follow Israel's gospel, you got to follow the law, you got to follow the kingdom program, you look for Israel's prophecy, you look for Israel's blessings, you look for Israel's prayers. In fact, they say you're a spiritual Jew. But friends, all of that is a denial of the truth of the gospel. The body of Christ is neither Jew nor Gentile, so how can it be a spiritual Jew? The body of Christ, the hope of the body of Christ is the heavenly places. So how can the hope be the kingdom on this earth? We walk by faith, not by sight. So why would we be looking for Israel's signs? And the Word of God and God's grace is sufficient to work in us. So why would we be praying Israel's prayers? The law has been abolished. It's been taken out of the way. So why would we be attempting to keep Israel's law? Friends, we live in the dispensation of God's grace, where there is neither Jew nor Greek in the church, the body of Christ. You're not under the law, you're under grace. And God's grace is sufficient for you. You're not a spiritual Jew. You are a member of the church, the body of Christ. You're not looking for the kingdom to come, you're looking for the church, the body of Christ, to go to the heavenly places. And there is no middle wall of partition today as far as God is concerned. We just read that passage in Ephesians 2 a few moments ago. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Any doctrine that would teach or imply that the middle wall of partition is still up. You know what, friends? That is an outright denial of the truth of the gospel. And it is, that same principle is, the very reason for which Paul withstands Peter to the face. Now, why is this account here in the book of Galatians? Why did God have Paul, God the Holy Spirit, have Paul include this account in the book of Galatians? Well, He did because of this. What happened at Antioch, that is, this compelling the Gentiles to live as do the Jews, that's what was going on in the entire Galatian territory, friends. That's the essence of why Paul writes the book. The Galatians were being compelled to live as do the Jews. What happened at Antioch, for which Paul had to confront Peter to the face and correct him to the face, that was a small picture of what was happening at Galatia. That is, the Galatians were being compelled to live as do the Jews. And if the objection to Peter's conduct was found and the correction of Peter's conduct was found in Paul's statement back to Peter, well then the answer and the correction to Peter's conduct by Paul is the same correction to the Galatians. And that is, why are you Galatians allowing yourselves to be compelled to live as the Jews? And why are others compelling the Gentiles to live as the Jews? So this is in the book of Galatians, it's recorded here, because what was happening at Antioch is what was happening at Galatia. The Gentiles are being compelled to live as do the Jews. And the reason you have the entire book itself of Galatians is because all the way down through the dispensation of grace, when the church was going to be in apostasy, there was going to be this constant satanic policy of evil that sought to compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews. And hence, in doing so, getting them to deny in their conduct the truth of the one body, the truth of that middle wall of partition being gone, the truth of the law of commandments being abolished. You see, if we live our lives as though that middle wall of partition is up, as though the law is still in effect, you know what, friends? We are denying in our conduct the truth of the gospel. And we, like Peter, deserve to be confronted to our face. Now, look what Paul goes on to say here to Peter. He says this. Verse 15 now. He says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now, what do you mean by that statement there? Well, in other words, if you'll think about the relationship that had existed between God and the Jews as compared to God and the Gentiles, you'll understand his statement there. From Genesis chapter number 11, God gave up the nations. He gave up the Gentiles, and he just let them go their own way. If you wanted to see the details of it, all you have to do is read Romans and chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. It says because at verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Verse 24 says, Romans 1:24, wherefore God also gave them up. Now verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up. And then verse 28 says, God gave them over. You had a threefold giving up of the Gentiles historically, culminating in Genesis chapter number 11. God just gave the Gentiles up. When Paul makes reference there in Galatians chapter 2, verse 15, sinners of the Gentiles, he's telling Peter, Peter, you and I understand that God just gave the Gentiles up to go their own way. God gave them light, but they rejected. He gave them light, but they rejected. He gave them light, but they rejected. Three strikes, they're out. He let them go. He just let the Gentiles go their own ways. But that's not what he did with Israel. God communicated his word to Israel. God gave his word to Israel. Look over to Romans and chapter number 3. Look at Romans chapter number 3. The great advantage that Israel had was that God communicated his word to them. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 1. He said, what advantage? He said, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, he says here, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The chief advantage, the number one advantage that Israel had over the Gentiles is that God spoke to them. He gave them his written word. They knew his law. They knew what he expected. They had his prophets. They had the scriptures. And so when Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, we who are Jews by nature, and his point being that therefore the ones that God communicated his word to us, we knew his word, we know his word. Now, Peter himself verbally made this public statement there in Acts 15, which is Galatians 2. That's how Paul knew Peter knew this. And if you go back to Galatians chapter number 2, verse 16, go back to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul has to say, Paul's got to hold Peter to his words. He says at verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sons of Gentiles. You know what, Peter? We've come to understand something. We know that a man is not justified by the works of law. Peter, you yourself said so in Jerusalem. You yourself acknowledged why tempt you to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear? Peter said, neither he nor his fathers were able to bear the yoke of the law. Peter made that public acknowledgement. And now the Apostle Paul confronts him and says, hey, buddy, wait a minute now. You forgot something that you said back there. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, what does this statement have to do with Peter's dissimulation that Paul is talking about in verse 12, 13, and so forth? Friends, it has everything to do with it. Peter, by dissimulating with the Gentiles, was saying in his conduct that the middle wall of partition was up and that the law was in effect. And therefore, if the Gentiles wanted to be blessed by God, they had to keep and observe the law. And yet Peter himself had previously acknowledged to this that, you know what, neither he nor his fathers were able to bear that. Well, friends, you know, we're pretty much out of time for our formal study this morning, and as we always do, we want to open this up for questions and answers for the next couple of minutes. And so what I'm going to have you do for next time is I'm going to have you read again from verse 15 down to verse 21, and we'll get into we're probably going to spend 2, 3, 4 weeks in that section there just because there's so much detail, verse 15 down to verse 21. We don't want to move in a hurry through that section there. So for your homework for next time, you're going to read Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 down to verse 21. And then that's where we will pick up for our study next week.